Well, greetings in Jesus' name. Trust that we've been blessed this morning, and hopefully we're ready to hear some more. We feel like we need some fresh air. Go out and get some fresh air and come back. As I was pondering about what to share this morning, my mind has been going over some of the things that I shared the last time, and that was in relation to equipping our children for with tools for kingdom work. And I've been pondering that and thinking about, what are some things that we need to do to be able to effectively do that? And obviously, I think the short answer is that we do need to have a relationship with God. And our children need to see that. But maybe I'll just move this. The question as a title that I'd like to give us this morning is, what does God want me to do with my worry or stress or, yeah, you name it? And what does God want us to do with that? You know, if we're honest with ourselves, I think we're all human. We're all, we think about life. And we find ourselves, well, what about this? What about that? And we, if we let ourselves go, we worry about them. And so, is the answer just, well, don't do that. Don't worry. A verse that I would like to read here this morning, and if you don't remember anything else from the message, I would like for you to hang on to this verse. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. So we need to, when we think about tasting, it means we're experiencing something. You know, we bring a platter of food that looks really good, but unless we're willing to go up there and get a piece of it and taste it, we don't know for sure. And so we need to experience it. As I was pondering that, and it's like, well, how do we learn these things? And I was thinking about people that like to ride unicycles. Is there anybody here that knows how to ride unicycles? I think there's at least one. I'm pretty sure, Abe, I've seen you ride a unicycle, haven't I? Yeah, okay. So there's a couple. Is there people here that are intrigued by it and would love to ride unicycles? Well, there's a handful of us that would be like to learn how to do that. I'm guessing that this morning that Henry, he could come up here and he could tell us all about unicycles. And he could do his best to teach you by describing the things to do, and we would be no further off than before he went through his speech. And I'd like to suggest that, you know, this thing of dealing with worry and living a life of, you know, that's not, we don't carry stress with us, but rather that we, you know, we can teach about these things. And we can talk about Psalms 34, verse 8, and talk about, you know, the goodness of God. And, you know, unless we take the courage and step forward and it's like, I'm going to see what God's going to do for me. You know, unless we take those steps, we will never really truly experience what God has for us. And the same thing is true with, you know, unicycles. You know, unless you get up and it's like, okay, here's this little bicycle with one wheel, and it's like, I don't think that I can ride this thing. And as long as we have that mindset, we're never going to ride that unicycle. But if we're willing to get on it and try, and then we go to Henry and say, hey, I'm just falling off. What am I doing wrong? And he'll give you some more pointers. And finally, you'll find yourself going up and down the aisles and down steps, and occasionally you get distracted and you fall. But you get up and you do it again. And so this morning, as we go through this message, I'd just like for us to hang on to those thoughts. What does God want me to do with my worry, my life, things that stress me, fear? Another thought, a covenant is based on trust between parties. A contract is based on distrust. When we just look at them, we sometimes view these things as similar or the same, but a covenant is based on trust between parties. A contract is based on distrust. So the piece that I'd like to point out to us here is God wants to have a covenant relationship with each one of us. He's not looking for a contract. He wants our hearts to trust him. It's like, well, you do this and I'll do that. This isn't my job. That's your job. But he wants to have a trust relationship. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And I'd just like to read, starting in verse 19 here, and read through these verses here. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit into his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye? O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So, we see in, I think the passage here is telling us, to think about where our treasure is. And, as I look at these verses and as I was studying these verses, what is the heart of the message here? And, we can look at it and say, oh, I'm just supposed to live and, not plan ahead. I don't think that's what it's talking about here. If that was true, we're on a trip and traveling, and we look at our gas gauge and it says, you're almost out of gas. Well, if we're normal people, we start looking for a gas station. And it's like, I'm going to get gas. Some people don't. Occasionally we find ourselves in this situation, we forget to pay attention. And all of a sudden we see that it's like, oops, I'm running out of gas. Wonder where the closest gas station is. And we find ourselves walking along the road looking for gas. Or we make a phone call and have someone deliver gas to us. I don't think that's what it's talking about here, but rather I believe that it's, when we look at these things, if we're driving along and we have half a tank of gas and we're already stressing about, well, where's the next gas station? We probably have a problem. And we do that in life, We're gardening, we're putting food away for winter, and it's like we have a lot of food, but we need more. And I'm worried about, how am I going to get through the winter? And, I only need one tank of oil to heat my house, but I want to make sure. I'm going to have three. And, we quickly get a picture of, there's a lot of worry, there's a lot of overthinking and stress, and we're trying to manage life in our own way and take care of ourselves. And he tells us here in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He's telling us, that this is what the world does. They're looking out for themselves, and that's their most important thing in life is to be comfortable and to seek those things out. But he's telling us here in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are they going to look exactly the same? No. If you're looking for that $1 million mansion, with all the comforts that you can find in this world. And we think that, you know, we do these things and God's going to somehow, you know, I'm only going to work 25 hours a week, and because I'm going to seek after what I believe God would have me to do and expect to see physically a $1 million house to live in, you know, probably not going to happen. And I believe that isn't what God is saying here, but rather we're going to experience in other ways, we're going to experience exactly what the Gentiles were seeking, that it's talking about. You know, they're looking for fulfillment and comfort and joy, and those are the things that we're going to be blessed with if we seek the Lord in these things. In Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What are we seeing here? You know, tells us, you know, to take the things that matter to us, the things that we're concerned about, our worries, that we're to take those things to the Lord. And things that we're going to experience is, in verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. You know, we can't explain it. Someone that, as Brother Henry shared, you know, their life is yielded to the Lord, and they're walking and trusting God. Verse 7 here tells us that, you know, someone that is doing this, they're going to experience things that we can't explain. The world looks in and wonders. It's like, how is that possible? You know, unless you taste and see that the Lord is good, you know, you won't be able to understand it. Something that I found interesting, you know, talking about worry, and mankind is good at doing these things, and we all fall into it at times, but this little survey, I don't know how accurate it is, but it said about 40% of the things that we worry about never come to pass. It never is even anything that we would have had to spend any time thinking about. And about 30% of the things that we tend to find ourselves worrying about is about things that have already taken place. And we can't change it anyway. That's a lot of time spent worrying about things that really aren't going to affect us one way or another. So let's just think about that. In Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, and I think we're all very familiar with this passage, and the seed that is sown, and you know, it brings, it starts growing, and it, you know, in some cases, it grows for a while, and then it, things come along in life, and it gets snuffed out. You know, the harshness of life brings distraction, you know, the dryness of the, you know, lack of rain, lack of God's word, and it fails. So as we, you know, we think about worry, and, you know, at times we find ourselves, we, it's like, okay, I don't want to worry, and I'm not going to. And the piece that I think we need to remind ourselves is, you know, are we tasting, are we experiencing God's word and in our lives? And that's really what's going to sustain us. And so we need to approach those things in that way, because life does have a way of coming at us. You know, the world has its things to offer, you know, the riches of the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And these things all like to get in the way and choke these things out. And our life quickly becomes unfruitful. In verse 19 and 20 there, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So all of these things will choke, you know, the word, God's promises. They will try to diminish, and if we pay attention to these things, it becomes unfruitful in our lives. In verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word. Hearing the word, receiving it, it brings forth fruit. And it has different measures of reward, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You know, the important piece is that it bears fruit. And as I ponder that, you know, as we taste and see that the Lord is good, and that we're blessed when we trust in Him, and that becomes reality in our lives, and we experience a little fruit, it motivates us for the next time. It motivates us to dig deeper and to experience that in bigger ways. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. In this passage, here, David wanted to bring the art of God back home to its rightful place. And we see here in David, you know, he was talking to people in verse 2. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So they agreed that it was what they should do, and they were excited about it. In verse 7 there, they carried the Ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abimelech. In verse 8 there, and David and all Israel played before God with all their might. They were doing this with enthusiasm and excited. And but in verse 9, things started going wrong. And we see here that, you know, the oxen stumbled and the cart, you know, it looked like it was becoming unstable. And someone reached up to stabilize this situation, and it cost him his life. And we see here in verse 11 that David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore the place is called Perez to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the Ark of God home to me? And it says in verse 13 there that he didn't bring the Ark home to himself, but carried it aside into the house of Abinadab the Gideon. And the Ark of God remained with the family there, and it says that they were blessed in the time frame that the Ark of God was there. So why, you know, they were excited about doing the Lord's work, but things went so wrong. What did they do wrong? They just set that Ark of God on a cart drawn by an oxen, and it was supposed to be transported by the Levites, I believe, if I understand correctly, on the shoulders of the Levites. God had very clearly given instruction on how the Ark of God was to be transported. David and his men, his people, you know, did they know about this? They saw a work that needed to be done, and they took things excited, and it's like, we're going to make things happen. But we see here that it wasn't the correct way, and we see because of it, you know, there was fear and worry, and to the point that they gave up. But if we continue reading in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 there, in maybe I'll just look at that verse 25 there, it tells us, you know, that they figured out what they needed to do, and they moved the Ark of God to where it needed to be, and they did it with joy. And so they, in the end, they experience joy. So lack of paying attention, lack of obedience, you know, we can try to do a good thing, but if we don't understand what God would have for us, and we find ourselves falling into fear, and you know, it says that David was afraid of God. And, you know, when I think of fear, and what does God want me to do with my worry, my faith, and fear? Fear is, you know, is a lack of, fear is something, I don't know how to explain it, I guess, you know, is it faith in failure? You know, when we're not, when we're, we find failure in that. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus asks a question. But when you, Matthew chapter 6, verse, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Matthew, that's not the verse that I was looking for. Think. Verse 27. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Which of you taking thought can add one cubic unto his stature? You know, I think what he's saying here, or what he's asking there, is, you know, when we take things into our own hands, and we come up with a plan, or we worry and we stress ourselves out, you know, how can we, by doing these things, does anything change? You know, I think the answer is we realize that stressing and worrying, that it doesn't. And so what does God want us to do with these things? In Luke chapter 19, verse 3, Luke, it's not the verse I was looking for, but anyway, the thought there, it was the story where the disciples brought the donkey to Jesus, and they cast garments on the donkey, and it's like, well, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? But the piece that I like to point out is, you know, they were no longer carrying the garments, but they had cast them on the donkey. And, you know, that's something that we have to learn to do as we take on life, as we take on life's problems, as we, you know, as we're faced with fear and struggles and worry, and, you know, those are things we take them on, we're carrying them, we wake up and it's like, oh, I'm carrying this thing in life, and it's bugging me down, and I believe that God wants us to cast them to him. In Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And then in First Peter, I believe. I forgot to write that reference down. 1 Peter chapter 5. talking here, and I'd just like to start reading in verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And God made us into a caring people, and we see needs and we see struggles, and we take these things on. And God made us into a relational people, and he wants us to have feelings, but he wants us to, you know, as we take these things on, he doesn't want us to carry them. As we take on life's challenges, you know, as we take on the responsibilities that God has given us and is giving us, you know, if we make them our own problem, and we attack them as, well, I have to fix these things, I have to take care of these things, and yes, God has given us a responsibility, and he has given us all responsibilities, and he wants us to do our part. You know, if we look at life and it's like, well, you know, I don't have to worry about that. Eventually, the gas tank runs empty. And whose problem was it that you ran out of gas? You know, it was nobody else's. It was our own doings. So the things that the Lord gives to us, let's be diligent. You know, what does God want me to do with the things that he brings to me that are on my plate? You know, raising my family, you know, preparing for mission work, preparing for whatever God is preparing us for, you know, he gives them to us, but he doesn't want us to take the load. He wants us to cast those things, those garments, onto him, and he wants to carry them. And like in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I think, you know, all your care. Well, where does that start and stop? If it's stressing you out, if you're worrying about it, if it matters to you, it's big enough for God, and it matters to him. And so then he wants to carry those things. And in closing, the verse again that I would like for us to be reminded of is, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, if we want to experience these things in our lives, we have to step out and give God a try. It's like, just hand it over and see what God is going to do with it. And let him carry the burden of those things. You know, if we never get on the unicycle, we'll never learn to ride one. And so, as we face life, let's taste and see that the Lord is good, and that he is true, and he cares about each one of us. May God bless.